This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now, Zach Stevens, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, I love catching up with you on a Friday.
Oh, me too. Great vibes today, Brady. And man, just a little extra special with it being Raiders week and Mike Shanahan finally going in the Ring of Fame.
Isn't that something? It's amazing, but also kind of depressing because one of our poll questions, and we talked about this Tuesday, was, you know, could Vic be fired, essentially, if things don't go well the next couple of games? And you look across the field on the weekend, and you're going to see Mike Shanahan and so many amazing memories with this Broncos organization. So it takes us back to the golden days a little bit.
Yeah, it certainly does. And not only, I mean, Mike shouldn't just be in the Ring of Fame. He should be in the Hall of Fame with what he's done, back-to-back Super Bowls. And then, honestly, just everything he's done for the game, with his coaching tree, with his offense, just the way he's really changed the game of football for the better. He absolutely deserves a gold jacket.
No question about it, man. I mean, Mike Shanahan is just one of those guys. He's he kind of changed the game. He's just if you're skimming the surface, obviously his offensive mind was something that changed the game. I always think about Mike Shanahan and the freezing of the kicker. I know that's a very minuscule thing compared to what he has done in his career, but he created that. And some teams, I mean, they utilize that. So that's one of the many things that Shanahan's brought to the table.
Oh, yeah, you're 100% right. And like I said, you look at the coaching tree and what Kyle's doing now, and these are all variations. And Sean McVay, these are all variations of what Mike Shanahan brought to the NFL and what he's done. And I don't think just that he should be in the Hall of Fame. I think it's something that will happen eventually. But, I mean, he had to be in the Ring of Fame first. So this is a good first step for him. And very, very deserving. But one of the things as well, besides just back-to-back Super Bowls, is what he did in the 2000s, where he didn't have the Hall of Fame quarterback in a 3-year stretch, 10-6, 10-6, and then, of course, the 13-3 season where he brought the Broncos to the AFC Championship game. He was not just a product of John Elway.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, Jake Plummer was a good quarterback, but that year that they went to the AFC Championship, lost to the Steelers, I believe, that year, Jake Plummer, I think for half the season or so, we were kind of whispering, hey, is Jake Plummer like a dark horse for the MVP? So it's really cool how Shanahan kind of resurged that guy's career.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. And, man, you just wonder if him and Jay Cutler would have stayed together longer, what that would have been, because the talent on Jay was so obvious. And Mike and him were starting to click, but then obviously both went very different directions.
Yeah, I think about that often too. And the stretch, you know, with Mike Shanahan, all the different things that surrounded his career, you know, John Elway being an assistant with the Broncos, getting fired by the Raiders shortly into his second season, I think, and then being removed from the Broncos as an assistant coach because Dan Reeves is paranoid that he thinks Shanahan's gunning for his job. Like, there's so much history. So much rich Broncos history with Mike Shanahan.
Yeah, and then on top of that, I mean, it's perfect that he's going into the Ring of Fame officially and being unveiled for Raiders week, because he was 21-7 against the Raiders and just showed the Raiders time and time again what a mistake it was that they let him go.
Yeah, and you think about that too, and you think about how he just wanted to beat the Raiders. I mean, that's when that rivalry was really strong, because Shanahan hated the Raiders, and some people even knocked Shanny for that. They're like, dude, you spend too much time trying to figure out the Raiders and not enough time trying to beat everybody else.
Exactly. I mean, and the 21-7 record is just incredible. And then, I mean, in his career with the Broncos, over a 600 winning percentage for him. So over 60% of the time he had a win, 138-86 record for the Broncos. The best coach they've ever had.
No question. I mean, it was funny because I was thinking about the Nuggets stuff today because, you know, we had Jerry Schimmel talking about George Karl, and I was thinking, has Mike Malone surpassed George Karl as the head coach? And it's a debate, and you still got Doug Moe at the top. But for the Broncos, there's no debate, is there?
No. There's no debate. I mean, you got to start with the Super Bowls. He has two. Only one other person has one, and it was Gary Kubiak. Yeah. And he was only here for 2 years. Now, Gary Kubiak should also be in the Ring of Fame because of all of his contributions to the Broncos. Of course, as John's backup, then the great offensive coordinator with Mike, and then of course winning the Super Bowl as well.
What did you think, Zach? You know, looking back at the Shanahan days, his last year with the Broncos. I mean, as great as Shanny was, those last few years, he was kind of more or less a 500 coach. And the Broncos were like, all right, we got it. It was kind of like the George Karl thing. It's like, hey, we're tired of being just kind of good. We need to find a way to take that next step. I mean, that set up this chain reaction of so many things. Shanahan is linked. He's like Kevin Bacon. He's linked to every portion of the Broncos. They bring in Josh McDaniels, arguably one of the worst eras in Broncos history. And then, you know, that's what kind of gets John Elway coming in and eventually helping out with that side of it. And then Gary Kubiak, the Super Bowl, the Peyton Manning. Like, it set off this new chain reaction of all these other great things and controversial things for the Broncos.
Yeah, it really did. And like you said, he's pretty much touched the organization in every era. And especially, I mean, just a couple of years ago, remember his name was brought up that John Elway wanted to hire him with Joe Ellis, put the kibosh on it. That would have been something else if he came back for a second stint. And you talked about those last 3 years. After the Broncos went 13-3 in 2005 and just missed out on the Super Bowl, they went 9-7, 7-9, and 8-8. And the way those seasons ended was the end of what was the reason the Broncos moved on from Mike Shanahan. Not only was the 500 record just not good enough for Pat Bowlen, but the way they ended, and just they should have made the playoffs those years, but at the end of the season, they just completely fell off, specifically in 2008, and that was just too hard for Pat Bowlen to go through. And what's crazy, Brady, and unfortunate right now, is the Broncos would be thrilled with the 500 season now. You know, if they're 9-8, everyone at the end of the season saying, okay, maybe a little disappointing after the 3-0 start, but look, that's four more wins than the Broncos had last year. It's going in that direction. And that sort of season was just not good enough 10 years ago for the Broncos.
Boy, things have sure changed, haven't they? And Shanahan was a part of raising those expectations, just like John Elway was. And now, like you said, Zach, we're at a point where we're like, just don't lose to a team like the Raiders who just moved on. Or, well, they moved on from their head coach. Like, we're at this point where, can you win games? Can you win eight games just to kind of look at the playoffs? And things have sure changed over the years.
Yeah, they certainly have. And like you said, this game this weekend, Brady, is an absolute must-win for the Broncos. The season really rides on this game, because if the Broncos are able to win this game, then they're 4-2. You know, it's still disappointing the last couple of weeks, but at the end of the day, 4-2, they will have a winning record by the time the bye comes around, and playoffs will be in their grasp. Just right after the bye, they'll be able to make a push if they're able to. But if they don't win this game, Brady, in 1 week from now, we're very likely talking about some significant changes, likely on the coaching staff, because if they don't win this game, I mean, the train is off the track, and it's going to be bad against Cleveland in just 6 days from now.
Maybe ask Mike Shanahan to stick around, to hang around the stadium. Just don't leave the parking lot, Mike. We might call you in a week.
I mean, only a couple of years ago, that was John Elway's plan.
Right. Zach, tell us a little bit about this Raiders team. Obviously, Derek Carr, with everything going on, he's having himself a really good season. I'll be curious to see how that impacts him without Gruden anymore. But tell us about this Raiders team, because before they were in the headlines and the talk of the NFL with Gruden's situation, this team has kind of been in an interesting ride. I mean, they started off pretty red hot. A couple of weeks later, you're wondering, all right, are the Raiders the real deal here? So talk to us a little bit about, let's go on the offensive side of the ball, too. What do they do well that the Broncos need to be ready for?
Well, you said Derek Carr. I mean, when they started 3-0, he was averaging over 400 passing yards per game, which is just insane. He had a 435 passing yard game. 382 and 386. Brady, if you have those games over an entire season, that's fantastic. You start off and go three straight games with that, that is unbelievable. But then the last two games, when they've really struggled on offense, they've only put up 14 and 9 points, so averaging, you know, just like 12 points per game here. That Derek Carr has been very disappointing to his standards, only 196 passing yards and 206 passing yards. So that's the formula to beat the Raiders here, is they have talented running backs, but they don't really use them, and they don't even try to use them. And with the Raiders, it's about just slowing down Derek Carr. Brady, the Broncos should be a team that's in great position to slow them down. I mean, look at Von Miller. Look at this pass defense. It should be the best pass defense in the NFL, but it should be. It hasn't been the past couple of weeks. When you have Lamar Jackson dicey up, you let Ben Roethlisberger find the fountain of youth against you next week. So if the Broncos' pass defense shows up, they'll win this game. If they don't, Derek Carr is going to take over, and I fully expect Derek Carr to be the guy to try to dominate this game for the Raiders. After all the chaos this week, he's the leader on their team. So I expect it to all be on his shoulders. And Brady, he's the guy that can absolutely have success if everything's on his shoulders.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how aggressive this defense is. And one of the things I'd love to see, and I know they got the fumble force, but I want to see some of those game-changing plays. You know, Von Miller breaking free, getting one of those, you know, strip sacks, and a guy picking it up and going a little bit with it, maybe even taking it the distance. Maybe this is that game where we see Patrick Surtain come up with a big-time play. Somebody needs to make a play, not just a good tackle, you know, force a punt at the 50 or whatever. I'd like to see one of those momentum-shifting plays by this defense.
Well, and it's great that Malik Reed did that last week.
Right.
And maybe Malik Reed will continue to do that. But, Brady, why aren't the second highest-paid safety in the NFL, one of the highest-paid pass rushers in Von Miller, and, of course, highest-paid safety Justin Simmons, the $10 million cornerbacks, Ronald Darby, who has been out, so that's not on him, but Kyle Fuller, who's just been getting cooked. But why aren't these guys the one making plays on top of your Malik Reeves of the world? These guys need to step up. And also the interior of the defensive line, they've been fine, but I think it's fair to say they've been a little disappointing. They've been getting some push, but they have one combined sack. Shelby Harris has one sack. Draymond Jones doesn't have a single sack this year. This offseason, they were talking about having 10 sacks, each having 7 sacks. We are so far away from that. I mean, the high-paid guys on defense, for the most part, Brady, have been pretty darn disappointing.
Yeah, you need your stars to shine in a game like this because, you know, you're sitting at, 3-2. It's not the end of the world. That's a nice-looking record, but when you look at how we've got here, that's when you start to worry. Okay, you beat three bad teams. You lost to a really good team in Baltimore, and then you lost to a team on the road. I get it, and it's early, but still, we have a lot of questions about Pittsburgh. So you need your stars to step up and get this thing back on the right track. Zach, let's look over on the offensive side of the ball. Again, I sound like a broken record, but can we run a lot of times with Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon? Just give them the ball all the time. Just want to see it.
Hey, I totally agree with that. And against this Raiders team, Brady, you absolutely should be able to. The Raiders statistically are very interesting. On their offensive side of the ball, like I said, they're an incredible pass team. On the defensive side of the ball, they're actually really good against the pass. They just don't get interceptions, but they're really good at limiting teams against the pass. However, they don't run the ball, like I said. They don't use Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake. And on the defensive side of the ball, they can't stop the run at all. So their team is bad in the running game on offensive defense, good in the passing game on offense and defense. And so that's something that the Broncos should absolutely try to expose. They're giving up 4.6 yards per rush on defense. Melvin Gordon is averaging 4.7. Javonte Williams is averaging 4.6. If you're anywhere close to those numbers, you should be pounding the rock 30 times this year. And the Broncos are so far away from doing that so far this season. You know, each of these guys is getting less than 10 rushing attempts per game over the last two games. Don't wait until the second half to try to establish the run. Do it in the first half. And don't be so predictable, though, either. You don't just want to run the ball to say, look, we ran it 20 times. You want to do it with the right circumstance and the right purpose, because Brady, in the first half last week, the Broncos ran the ball on every single first down. That's too predictable. Unless you're averaging, 5 to 6 yards per carry on those, well, then, yeah, keep doing it because that's your identity. You're really good. But you know what? The Broncos weren't doing that. They were just setting themselves up in second and long, and then that turned into third and long. And it's really hard for any good quarterback to have success on third and long, let alone just any quarterback.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's almost like Pat Shurmur was flipping the media the bird just by running it so predictable. But you know what? We don't want to take these like personal grudges. You need to do what's right for this football team and figure it out, because we've talked about this religiously. This team, we like Teddy Bridgewater, and maybe he can do some really big things, but I still think this team goes, if their defense is elite, top five, and they're forcing turnovers, and then they run the ball. Those are the formulas. And I know it sounds simple, right? But that's what we're not seeing so far.
Yeah, you're 100% right. That's exactly the formula. And look, that was the formula in the first couple weeks. Broncos team looked fantastic in the first 3 weeks because their defense was stellar, giving up 8 points per game. And on top of that, their offense was doing really good. It felt like they were doing better than they actually were because they didn't actually have a 30-point game. So the formula was perfectly intact the first three games of the season. And then what happened? It blew up. The offense went from, you know, a borderline top 10 offense to a bottom 5 offense in the league. And the defense, even more disappointing, went from, you know, the best defense in the NFL, one of the two best defenses in the NFL in the first three games. These past 2 weeks, they've been in the bottom 10 of nearly every single statistical category. And the Raiders, they're a good team. They're not a great team, but they can look like a great team if you look like the way you have the past couple weeks.
This is a crossroads for the Broncos, for sure. If they lose to the Raiders, I don't know that Vic gets fired. Like you said, you got to go to Thursday. If you somehow beat the Browns, maybe that changes things. But if you lose to the Raiders, we've got a lot of big questions surrounding this team. If you beat the Raiders, you go to 4-2. You give yourself a shot on Thursday Night Football against the Browns to turn this whole thing around. So we're at a crossroads right now. Zach, how's it going down, man? Do you see the Broncos taking care of business and kind of getting this thing rolling the right way?
Man, they've got to, Brady. They have to, or else it's going to be hard to look at any other game on the schedule and say the Broncos will win that. Maybe outside of Detroit, the 0-5 Detroit Lions, although they're going to be playing for Dan Campbell. They love Dan Campbell over there. But outside of that game, if the Broncos lose this one, it's going to be a very grim outlook for their season. And on top of that, so the Broncos have desperation this week, which is, like I said about Pittsburgh last week, that's not something that you can calculate, and that's not something you can replicate. The Raiders, while they have some desperation, they have way bigger problems going on there. Like we talked about in the earlier the week, they probably only spent half the time of this week focusing on football, and in a game that's all about preparation, that has to hurt them. So I am giving the nod to the Broncos. The over-under is 44. I like it to be over. I like both teams to actually show some offense, which means that the defense may be a little disappointing on the Broncos end, but I'm going 27-23.
And I just looked -4 right now for the Broncos. So there you go. Zach, appreciate it. Spot on, man. Appreciate you as always. There's nobody better. You continue to grow in this industry. And, man, it's an honor to get you on. Now 2 times a week. We love talking Broncos with you, my friend.
Oh, and I love being on. Thanks so much for having me, Brady.
All right, my man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Seriously, go follow him. Z-A-C Stevens, DNVR. Nobody better, in my opinion. He's just he's flat out getting after it. 39 minutes after the hour. Don't forget, coming up in about an hour or so, I'll have my picks. I went 5-1 last week. We're feeling fantastic with our local picks. This is one where I'm going to say, hey, we feel great about this. So, Thursday night special, not so much. But when it comes to the weekend's local picks, it would be a very good idea to tune in and listen to the pick segment coming up in the second hour. 39 minutes after the hour, let's jump out of here real fast. Angel, get the latest on the local sports flash.